I'm glad to be here.
All right. This is how to build a better business. And I just kind of want to give an overview to start off. My name is Kathy Benner. I'm a passive income coach. And I work with a lot of entrepreneurs that want to get launched, whatever it is that they're trying to launch, whether it's a coaching program or an actual product or service. And so we talk about how to set up their business to make their website almost like not only a landing page, your homepage, but also almost like a sales funnel so that folks can just go right down your homepage on your website and they can tell what it is that you do. I've looked at websites before, and I don't know about you, but I've looked at websites before. And even after reading the website, I'm like, what do they do? Because they have fancy words and all of these sales phrases, and I'm still not sure what it is that they're selling or what it is that they're doing. So that's why we talk about building a better business. Now, I come from a salon background. And again, when I drive past any shopping center, I can tell you exactly where a lot of the nail salons are because it says nails right across the door. But then some of these gals that get into the salon industry, they decide that they want to have a cute, clever name for their salon. And right down the street from us, there was a gal that, opened a salon and she called it Carpe Diem. Seize the day in Latin, but people driving by thought it was a carpet store. So I'm here to say, make sure that your audience knows what it is that you do. And that's what we're going to talk about. So in January, which we're just getting started at the top of the year, we always talk about our VPS, our value proposition statement, our promise to our clients. What is it that we do and who do we do it for? And so we're going to talk about that today. But then in February, we get into storytelling. Our storytelling is our marketing. And we talk all about how to create our own hero's journey. And a hero's journey is not you as the hero. It's you as the guide. Your client is the hero. And so we talk all about the hero's journey and how to craft that into your storytelling. Then in March, we talk about serving is selling. And serving is, coming alongside even some other folks that do the same thing that you do and help serve their tribe. And guess what? Their tribe members will search you out. So you can kind of borrow some platforms by serving some other folks that are in the same lane that you're in. In April, we talk about then finally designing your website and building your platform, your design, your funnel, how to use Canva, how to do links. And then we start in talking about in May, all about your offers. What is your freebie? Kind of like the Jimmy Dean sausage, you go to Costco and they have you try it and you walk out with the box because you're like, oh, that was pretty good. And so a lot of times folks want to try something that you're doing before they spend the big bucks. And so we talk about creating that free opt-in, something that is, they have really basically hardly any skin in the game, but they're willing to tap in with what you have to offer. And then we go from there. In June, we start talking about your mid-level offer. And in July, your core offer. Your core offer is your bread and butter. That's the one that brings your income in every month. And then finally in August, we talk about your home run, which is your go celebrate offer. What is it that somebody might purchase that makes you want to go out and have dinner and a glass of wine and say, "Ooh, I closed that deal today." And then from there, we're all about marketing. So we segue in September into social media, how to get your products and services out across social media. And then in October, the benefits of blogging, and in November, podcasting, and in December, public speaking. And Sherry and I were just talking about public speaking, Dawn, when you came on. So again, I'm Kathy Benner, and I am in right outside Columbus, Ohio, in a little town called Canal Winchester. I am a passive income coach. And so I love my passive income lanes. And one of my largest lanes is real estate. And so I have a lot of rentals, long-term, short-term, and mid-term rentals. And I also own and run a bed and breakfast out of my home. So I'm working with guests this morning as I'm on the video call with you guys today. And then by noon, I'll be done and the rest of my day is free and clear. So That's how I like it. So Sherry is my co-mod today. And Sherry, tell us a little bit about you, what you do, and where you're coming to us from.
Well, my role and my entry into entrepreneurship came kind of out of a desperate situation where I was trying to find this gap where kids were struggling with writing, but weren't getting the support in the classroom. And as literally as a direct service provider, as an occupational therapist in the school system, I really saw this need with kids that were not qualifying for special services. And I realized that there was this gap in that people didn't understand the disability. More people hear the word dyslexia than they do dysgraphia. And my specialty is dysgraphia, which is the disability in writing. And I've also been doing a lot of exploration in the disability in math and how math and writing are connected. And that is dyscalculia. So I call them my specific learning disability trifecta. And so that's dyslexia, dysgraphia, and dyscalculia. And I am out there creating professional development and sharing with the world what this disability is, what it is not, and how we can help the kids in a whole classroom setting so we don't pull them out of the classroom. But we can also take those interventions and really specialize them for the kids who really do need the extra support. But there's a lot of kids, especially since the pandemic, that are falling through the cracks that really just need a little bit more explicit, systematic, cumulative, and multisensory education. And it is being proven in the dyslexia research that that will help all students. So that's what I'm doing.
Well, welcome, Sherry. Thank you so much for sharing that. I've been working with Sherry and along with Sherry for probably, I don't know, how long now?
2018.
Okay. I knew it's been a while. And she's put a lot of work into her products and services. And so we'll maybe share some of that as well. So Don, we're going to go to you. Share a little bit about you, what it is that you do, and where you're coming to us from.
Well, as I said before, and it's funny, Sherry, that you deal with dyslexia and dysgraphia, because part of what we do helps people deal with that, which I think you'll enjoy. My name is Don Triano. We are in Danbury, Connecticut, and we're also in the Philippines, is where my partner is from. And we have a digital marketing company called Market Pros International. We opened in 2017. We build websites, we do pay-per-click. We're real good at WordPress. But when the pandemic came out, we started a website called Our Fashion Passion. And Our Fashion Passion is a social media site for people that really like fashion. And we have people that they're allowed to, it's like Facebook, but you also get a blog, and that blog is indexed by Google. So we pay our members for the traffic to that blog. It's minimal. It's 2 cents per view, etc. But we have about 12,000 members, and we published upwards of close to 5,000 blogs since we launched just a little over a year ago. Her and I edit blogs all day long. So we deal with all kinds of people that cannot write. And some of them are not only can they not write, they write in different languages. And so they're trying to write in English, and it's like, wowzers, you know, but we managed to get them published. You know, I mean, she's a creative writer. I'm a creative writer. I'm an SEO expert. So that's what we do. We get the blog set up. And we also, in the meantime, we build websites and we get people ranked on Google and you know, we just help them in any way we can if they need digital marketing. So that's our legacy business.
Well, good for you. Yes, you're much needed, because a lot of times we'll get some folks on this call, they have a vision, but they don't know how to transfer that vision onto the digital product. And they get stuck, especially WordPress And so, you know, there's a lot of great little drop and drag and plug and play type sites out there, but your services are so needed. So thank you so much for being with us today. So I'm going to share my screen and share just a little bit about what we're talking about today. This is the Kathy Benner International Academy. And if you scroll down, I want to get to the correct lane here. And this is our Build a Better Business lane. And I'm going to click through on the course. And the first part of this course, and I'll just scroll down past a little bit, is here is your VPS. So that's what we want to talk about today. And so there is a sample. See if I can get it to open here. Not sure. There we go. So your VPS, and I have to move our faces out of the way here. Of course, if you're on a Zoom call, you understand what I'm talking about. So your VPS, your value proposition statement, it's what you tell people what you do, what you want, all in 30 seconds to make them want to buy. Now, you can craft this a lot of different ways. And Sherry and I, we've crafted it, you know, a million different ways depending on our audience. But here's just an example. And it's like, why people pay me? And I just tell them that I'm a passive income coach and I help you create passive income. So you don't need to punch a time clock. And that generates a lot of conversation when I'm out in a networking group. It's short and sweet. I don't know about you, but if you've ever been to a networking event where somebody says, oh, hi, I'm John. You know, what is it that you do? And all of a sudden the person launches into this big tirade of all kinds of stuff. And you're looking for an exit. You're looking around thinking, okay, how do I get away from this person? Or you walk up to someone and you say, what is it that you do? And the person goes, I'm an attorney. They just give you like the little short, really super short version. And you're thinking, are you a criminal attorney? Are you a real estate attorney? Are you like, what is it that you do? Because it just doesn't tell you much. And so you want to craft some sort of a VPS that it makes the person want to lean in and ask more questions. And so when I just say, you know, I help you create passive income so you don't need to punch a time clock, that makes them say, what is passive income? Or what do you mean? Because nobody likes punching a time clock. And so that helps them lean in. So we all have a dream. And so my question is, what's yours? You know, maybe your dream is to be a writer or to own your business or to work from home or to create some sort of a mission or ministry or to work from anywhere in the world. And so once you determine that, then how much more time would you need to create your dream? And here's where a lot of folks get stuck. They go, well, you know, my job takes up my time, or, you know, running my kids back and forth to practice takes too much time. And there's always laundry and dishes and grocery shopping. And seems like, you know, I'm just spread too thin. So a lot of times it says, let's concentrate on more money. What could you hire out if you had more money to buy yourself more time? So a lot of folks go, I don't have the money to do that. So let's concentrate on more money. What if you could have your grass mowed, your house clean, your landscaping done, your car maintenance done, your basement cleaned out? So you didn't have to do those things. So making more money is easier than you think. One way is passive income. Passive income is income that we work for upfront. Then it pays over and over with little or no effort. And Sherry, you're a perfect example of that. You've put so much work in up front. And I like to describe it as, you know, you're pushing the rock up the hill and now it's finally crested and it's starting to roll down the other side. So hang on. So Sherry is just now starting to crest that hill and hers is picking up speed. So I'm so excited for her. An example of having passive income might be like to write a book once and then sell it many times over, or dream job income. It's income we do while doing our dream job. So it doesn't even seem like work at all. I love doing these videos. And so this doesn't seem like work to me. I just get to hang out with great folks like you guys every Friday morning. An example might be that we love real estate. So we become a realtor. My real estate friend loves real estate. So he became a realtor. And doesn't feel like he's working at all. So you have to choose your passive income or what your dream job income is. So think about what your dream job is. Can you create streams of income? Can your dream job become passive after a while? And think about that. I decided at age 40 that I was going to be in the salon industry And it was definitely hands-on, you know, appointment after appointment. And so the only way for me to make that job, that dream job, passive was to hire other stylists and nail techs and other salon industry professionals and simply open a booth rent salon and collect their booth rent. And that made that job passive for me. Then I could do as much or as little actual clients as I wanted to do. But you have to start to embrace that vision. You have to think of yourself as this person. And so we're always told to dress for the job that you wanted, never the job that you have. And so I'm telling you, you need to picture yourself as that person you want to be, not the person you are now. Picture yourself in this passive income or in this dream job you want, not the job you have. And don't think, talk, or write for who or where you are. I want you to think, talk, and write for who you want to be and where you want to be. So what are the steps to changing your thinking? First of all, you have to have that vision. You have to have clarity. You need to eliminate all of the confusion. Do folks want to buy what it is that you have to sell? So develop that proposition, that value proposition statement. And so then we have to talk about clarity. Who do you want to, or who do you want to do business with? Clarity attracts. Think about the last time you ordered something online or bought something you needed. And confusion repels. If you were confused by any aspect of the buying process, you probably moved on to another vendor. I know I've done that. I've been looking for something, and if it's too confusing on how to get there, I'm like, I'm out. I don't have time. So why people pay you? Is it clear why people are going to pay you cash? Why should people give you money? What's in it for them? What is their clear value? Do you make it easy for people to buy? I don't know how many websites I've been on. I've heard the person talk and I loved everything they had to say. And when I go to their website, there's no place for me to give them money. Is there a place for folks to give you money on your website? Can they click through and buy something, whether it's a product or a service? So think about that and visit your website and just kind of look at it with fresh eyes. But to create your VPS, you have to make it clear why people should give you money. So these are the blanks. I am blank, who helps blank to do or understand blank, so that blank. And again, that's where your I am is your identity. Who helps, that's who your tribe is, to do or understand, that's your cause, and so that they can accomplish whatever your overarching vision is. So again, I'm Kathy Benner, Passive Income Coach. I help you create passive income so that you don't need to punch the time clock. And again, that's just an example on why folks pay me. So what is your VPS? And so anyhow, let me just check, Sherry, do you have a short and sweet one that fills in these blanks? You're on mute.
Thank you. It's not really worded that way. I have one that's more of my company.
Okay. Mission.
My mission is to help teachers, therapists, and parents raise the next generation of leaders by hacking barriers to writing success, dysgraphia.
Okay. Very nice. Dawn, do you have a VPS, a value proposition statement for one or both of your companies?
Well, we'll keep it to the digital marketing. I'm Dawn Traiano, who a digital marketing agency who helps businesses, local businesses, get more customers on the from the use of the internet, leverage the internet, so that they can make more money from their business.
Okay. That's perfect because it tells, you know, who your tribe is, what your cause is, and what you want them to achieve, what your overarching vision is for your clients. So I love that. And for both of you, see, again, your VPS is all about the other person. It's all about serving the other person, and which makes them the hero. It makes you the guide and it makes them the hero. And the reason that that's important is because when we get into the storytelling next month, we're going to talk about the hero's journey and how to make your customer the hero and how to make yourself the guide. So once you understand and you know who you are and what you do, then here's where the magic comes in. Now you need to wrap all of your products and services around that sentence. You have to create a website with those values in the top half of your homepage. Think of it like the old-fashioned folded newspaper, and we call it above the fold. And so think about that on your website. When somebody actually pulls your website up, they're seeing what's called above the fold. And so that's where you have to put those values, because if you're not going to hook somebody that quickly, they'll move on. Because again, when they land on your website, they're asking themselves, what's in it for me? What's in it for me? If they don't see something in it for them, they're probably not going to scroll down. They're not going to spend much time on your website. And the problem that I see oftentimes, especially with authors and coaches, they have that whole top half of their website all about them instead of all about their customer. It's all about them. And it makes me sometimes, when I look at that, go, well, good for you. You know, I'm glad you've got a great Rolex watch on as you're standing there with your arms crossed, you know, good for you. But what's in it for me is what your customer is asking. And so create your website with those values in the top half of that homepage, and then create a LinkedIn page with the values in your profile, create various social media with those values, introduce yourself with your new value proposition statement, and folks will start to be attracted to what you're doing. So you can actually join the Simply Start Tribe, which is what we're doing here. And this is the list of what we go through, creating your VPS and then storytelling and serving, creating all of your offers, and then putting that all into a website. And then we talk about how to market all of that. And the blogging, the podcasting, the speaking are great ways to get your message out there. So that's what I had to share this morning. And so discussion. Sherry, tell us a little bit about your journey and what was the process from where you started to where you are now. What is one of your biggest ahas along the journey? And I know that's a loaded question because you've had a lot of ahas along the way, but what, tell us just a little bit about your journey putting your business together.
Well, I started working as a school-based therapist, basically cold turkey. And moving from 15 years in adult rehab, and I'm going, oh, this will be simple. This will be easy. Just, you know, big people, little people. It's all the same. No, it is not. And I really started to get pissed off. And I said, like, it was irking me when I saw a kid struggling in the classroom and they weren't getting support. And they would get IQ testing done, and the IQ says, oh, they're an average student. They'll just get it over time. No, students need explicit, systematic, cumulative, and multisensory instruction. It doesn't matter whether you're the low kid in the classroom, the high kid in the classroom. Every student needs the same thing. And what I've realized with working with my own kids, plus working with hundreds of kids in the classroom and one-on-one in direct services, is that people just don't understand what dysgraphia is. And so I really started delving into that aspect of it. And I've discovered quick, short burst interventions that are really targeted to be done right before somebody starts to write, that really improves, no matter who you are in the classroom, it improves your engagement in the writing task. And how many of our kids over the last 2 years, okay, so, you know, since March of 2020, really didn't have that explicit, systematic, cumulative, and multisensory instruction, let alone writing itself. Everybody went to the keyboard, but writing, no matter whether you do it by hand or by keyboard, is still a skilled task.
That's absolutely. So when you started to launch your business, how has your business changed over the year, as far as your online footprint of your business? How has that changed since you started to where you are now?
My first website was probably the most disastrous thing I ever saw.
Mine too. I get it.
Likewise.
But now it's converting. Now, like, I really figured out how to bring that front page into a systematic story, I guess is the way you want to put it, to help lead the client where they need to go. And Kathy, I didn't get to tell you this. I did a 5-day challenge the first week in January.
Okay.
For the second time. The second time, I didn't have as many people sign up, but I also did not advertise it.
Okay.
Like the first week in January, I knew I wanted to do it, but yet I didn't want to have a whole lot of people in the room. So I had about 10, 15 people on Monday, and I still had people on Friday. I think I had 6 people in the room on Friday. So the attrition over the week was not as significant as it was the first time I did a 5-day challenge. But the real piece here is I tweaked my workbook, got it so people weren't as confused and lost. And I had 4, 5, till the end of the week, 5 people signed up for the VIP.
Okay.
Out of the VIP, I had 3 out of them convert, which blows my mind. Okay. I corrected. I had 2 convert and I had 1 person join who didn't go to anything. So like my message is starting to be much more clear, consistent.
The value that you're bringing to your audience is making sense to them.
Finally.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Before I was telling them the end of the story and I wasn't converting because I was telling them all the gold. And I had to really look through and figure out what it was that I could say on the front end that would catch their attention and not share the gold mine at the end.
Good for you. Good for you. And just to bring our listeners up to speed that are maybe listening to this later, and for Dawn that's on with us today, one of the other things that we teach is outside of this Build a Better Business, a lot of these components have taken on a mastermind of their own within my academy. And one of them is how to create and launch a 5-day challenge. And Sherry has also done some other courses with some other gurus on 5-day challenges. So she's quite informed. And so she has launched her 5-day challenges and she's just now tweaking it and making it better and better each time she does it. And that's one of her products that she offers, is that 5-day challenge to bring that information to our clients. So good job, Sherry. And she's also a published author. I do have to toss that out.
thank you. I'm also a podcast host. And Kathy, drum roll, please. I am just reaching 1,000 downloads since August. Yay. Which for some podcasts, they can go 2 and 3 years before they reach Mark. So I am just tickled pink that it's gotten to that point. So now in the world of podcasting, I move into a different category. Mm-hmm. And so I'm just now getting to that point where I'm also advertising the 5-day challenge.
Yes.
Inside the podcast so that people are hearing about it. But now, as of later this month, I will have 2 5-day challenges that I'm going to be alternating. One is going to be more writing and the other one is going to be math. So I have 2.
I love that. And the podcast is a great way to advertise that because you can bring tons of value. You can bring other speakers on. You can do interviews. There's so many things you can do with the podcast and you can still drop those, you know, little golden nuggets of your product and services and those 5-day challenges. So that's a perfect way.
And this is where Kathy is gold. Kathy and I sat one day, probably about a year ago at this point in time, as I was looking at the title for that podcast, and I was sharing some of the thoughts that I had, and she took me aside and she coached me for about an hour one day. And we actually went onto Google Trends and we went through and we were looking at some words that we could throw out there as part of the podcast title. And I got to say, Kathy, it was your recommendation that I believe was the thing that brought that podcast to life.
Well, thank you for that. I appreciate that. That makes me feel good, because that's my whole goal of giving back, is to just make sure that folks are reaching their goals, they're launching their dream jobs, and they're making it happen. And Sherry, you're definitely an example of making it happen. So kudos to you. Dawn, how about you? When you started your business to what it is now, what was some of the pathways that you took? Maybe even some down some wrong tunnels, as I have. More, and then you had to climb back out and start over.
More wrong than right, Kathy, let me tell you.
We were
looking for passive income. And I run across the video of, I forget what the guy's name was. He doesn't even have a digital marketing, but he was telling how you can make millions of dollars, blah, 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 blah. And so we decided to get into it. And so we started making websites using Wix and these other, oh my gosh. When I look at them now, it's like, my gosh. But we have been since 2015, 16, I probably watched half a million hours of different people talking about exactly what we're talking about now, converting, having a good value proposition. You know, when we put a site together, we're trying to do with that. And I will tell you that if you're like Sherry, with what you're converting is really amazing, because a good converting website's about 1-2%. So if you get 1-2% of the people that go through your website to convert, that's really pretty darn good. And 5% off the hook. And it sounds like you're doing a heck of a lot better than that. But we learned, and we've been building, and we build landing pages, and we've, you know, our websites now, when you Google our, you know, a plumber in the area, like I told you about where you near you, our guy's on page one, all of the page ones. If you Google plumber in, what town was that? Youngstown, our guy's on page one. And so he's doing really well. He loves me. We love him, and all's going well. But it took us a lot of hard work to get to where we got to today. Now things are going well. The social media site, we're paying more money in to keep it running than we're making. I will tell you that. But we are hopeful that that will turn around at some point in the future. Feel free to join it. It's called Our Fashion Passion. It's free to join, and Sherry, you'll appreciate it, because there's a writing course on there where we talk about using the 3-part essay, which is something I went to high school, quality high schools here in Danbury, Newtown. I went to school in Newtown, and I got to college and I didn't know how to write. And I got lucky because the teacher said to me, "You don't know how to write. I'm going to teach you how to write." And he did. And thank God I met him. So yeah, what you do is there's a big value to what you do. And I do some of what you do, but not nearly at your level. And that's where we are today. We're having a good time. We are not getting rich, but we're having fun.
Dawn, I get it.
Dawn, I just got to add, I also am challenged with writing. I have a bit of dysgraphia myself. So writing and communicating has been a challenge for many years. And I'm glad I'm finding my voice with my disability.
Yeah.
And I think that's a great point, Sherry. I think oftentimes when we finally move into our passion, a lot of times we're talking to an earlier version of ourselves. And again, for me, being a passive income coach, I was a single mom and working 2 minimum wage jobs and trying to pinch pennies to make ends meet. And finally discovered this goofy word, passive income. And like Dawn, I had to work at it. I had to study. I had to figure it out. I had, you know, I don't know how many hours I have into trying to figure out what in the heck that even means. And how can I bring that into my life? And so that's why oftentimes when we finally move into our passion, we're talking to an earlier version of ourselves. That's who our perfect client is. So I love that. I love that. And Sherry, I saw you put in there at least 10,000. What is at least 10,000?
That's what the gurus say that it takes to become proficient enough at something to share with somebody else that you feel like you have not knowledge of it. So what they're saying,
wow, 10,000. Wow.
Yeah. So what they're saying is to play an instrument effectively, it takes 10,000 hours to learn. To write effectively, it takes 10,000 hours to practice it, you know, so you've practiced at real estate and nails and stuff. You are an expert in those areas because you've spent time and intentionally been practicing at it.
Yes. So I get that.
Don't remember where that started, but I'm thinking was Jim Rohn.
I haven't done this for quite some time, but when you're talking about, I was a nail tech, Dawn, just so you know, Sherry already knows that. And for like 25 years.
Good business. So,
I'm sorry.
It's a very good business.
Well, yes and no. I mean, I always told Mark I was going to ride that train as long as it was on the track, but physically it's very demanding because the repetition starts to cause shoulder issues and elbow issues and wrist issues. And so, you know, it was time for me to retire for my health. But boy, that was a big segue for me, was to leave the salon industry and to be retired, because I was used to working 12-hour days. And I would do a client every hour. So if I did 10 fingernails every hour, times 12 hours, that was 120 nails every day. And sometimes I would work, 6 days a week. So that's 720 nails a week. And so then, by the time you do that for a year, that's 40,000 nails a year. And then I did that for 25 years and I can't even read that number.
Substantial.
It is 10 million.
Hey guys, I got to jump out. I could only really give you 30 minutes, but if can you put me down for next week? This was really, really helpful. I got a ton out of it. I'm sure Jenny Lynn did as well. I wish I'd have met you 6 years ago, because my God, you just saved me a whole lot of effort, time, and money, a lot of money. So yeah, I thank you very, very much, Sherry. Very nice to meet you. Kathy, very nice to meet you. And I'm sorry to just jump out like this.
And I'll just put in the chat, if you go to kathybinner.com and scroll down my homepage, you'll see our calendar of events. Tap into any of those.
Kathy, thank you so very much.
And thank you for being with us, Dawn. Thank you so much.
Nice to meet you both. Take care.
Yes. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Now, Sherry, while you're still on the call and we're still recording, I want to know, and we're going to segue just a hint before we close out for today. If you could create a casual VPS, let's say you're, and again, I think we talked about this in our last call, but if you are just at a family event, let's say over the holidays, we just came through the holidays and you're over the holidays and you're sitting in a room and you've got some aunts and uncles that maybe you haven't talked to for a long time. And you finally meet up and it's a very social event, not business at all. And they turn to you and say, Sherry, what is it that you do? What is it that you say to them?
Well, I often start out with, my heart is for all students. I want all students to belong. And what really pisses me off is those students that are struggling, and I'm helping students that struggle.
That's a perfect segue, because then I can see where they would lean in and say, well, how do you help them? What is it that you do? And that just opens up that conversation where you can talk to them about what you do. A lot of folks, again, I do the same thing. A lot of folks will say, Kathy, what is it that you do? And I go, oh gosh, I've struggled financially for so long that I help folks create income without having to punch a time clock. Well, of course, you realize how many lean-ins I get on that one. Everybody is like, you do what? How do I do that?
It's been a long time since I had a punch a time clock.
I know. But it's the concept of having to have a job.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Because as you work in a school system, you're not really punching a time clock when you come in and when you go. So it wasn't. But yet, digitally, I had to manage every moment of my day. Mm-hmm. And it has been a bit of a relief to really restructure and rethink where the priorities stand and what things I need to detail out my conversation and what other areas I don't have to. And one of the things that I've been trying to do, like you, is when I get off the call, I want the call to be over. I don't want to have to sit for another hour and think about the notes that I have to write, which is one of the things that was happening as a therapist, is I'd work with a kid and then I'd have to write down all the things that happened with that kid. And I'm like, there's got to be a better way to work that once your day is done, it's done. Almost like when I worked way back when I worked at the shoe store, when I left the shoes, I was done.
Right. Right.
Like that balance. But, you know, there's a fine line between that ladder on the corporate world. And it's so nice to be in the entrepreneurial world. But for you guys that are out there listening to this podcast, it takes guts. It takes hard work. And it takes more hours than either one of those that I just described.
At first. Yeah. I want to clarify that and say, if you're creating passive income, you do all the hard work up front until you get everything into systems and you see how you can segue that into a more passive environment. And so because you're in the entrepreneurial space, you have the total freedom to segue that at any time, at any point, at any price point. And so in the salon industry, even though, you know, I had to be at my, because I was a nail tech, I had to be at my nail table every hour. I had a different client, 12 hours a day. I did that 6 days a week. And I did that for years. And when I said, gee, I really can't do these kind of hours anymore. I really can't do this schedule. And I started to have some health issues. I thought I need to segue this into passive income. And so at that point, I hired on all of these other folks and collected their booth rent, and they were doing all the hours. And I was collecting the booth rent, which was a nice cash flow for me. And then when I finally retired to take it to the next level, when I finally retired from the salon industry altogether, then those buildings that I bought with that in that booth rent that I was collecting, I bought the real estate. Now I'm just collecting the actual rent payment, and I don't even have to manage or run the salons at all. I am just the landlord. And so now, and that's where I am right now, is I am managing the properties as a landlord. But my next step, should I decide to go there, or when I decide to go there, is to just hand all of that off to a management company. And for a small fee, someone else will manage all of those rentals, and I still get the cash flow. So you can see where there are stages of moving your business into that passive income. But you do have to do the work up front to make that happen.
And the money up front is where people get into that gap of, can I do this? Mm-hmm. And there, if it was, gosh, Kathy, if it wasn't for you last year, would have, and some other things, but last year was a difficult year. And I must say that I had read Think and Grow Rich, and there's a story in there. Are you Darby? I think Darby was his last name, his initials in the beginning. I'm kind of vague on at the moment, but there was a story in there about him drilling a mine in Colorado, and he found gold and got partners to invest in to buy more supplies and such, more people, and all of a sudden, the gold stopped coming, and he kept trying to find it and such, and couldn't find it, and finally just folded the business and walked away. The guy that he sold all of his equipment to listened to his entire story, but had enough money in reserve himself that he hired an expert from California to come in, talk a little bit about what mining looks like. And they tracked it back. They believe that there was an earthquake or an earth shift in the tectonic plates below them. And the shift of where the gold mine or the gold was moved 3 feet. So last year, one of the things that I kept saying to myself was, you are just 3 feet away. You are just 3 feet away as a reflection of that story. And I kept going through that particular story in my head. So you guys that are out there, when you're thinking about building a better business and you're in that struggle that year that is just driving you crazy, think about, are you Darby? And are you 3 feet away? And I got to say, I was just 3 feet away.
But again, it takes perseverance. It takes a decision on the part of the business owner that they are going to hang in there. One of the things that I like to do, if some of you are struggling with this, one of the ways I like to solve that is I like to set a goal out in the future. Like I am, and I did that when I started the salon business. And I keep going back to that because that's, I think everyone can relate to an actual brick and mortar business sometimes. And so when I started the salon business, I signed a 2-year lease on my first rental building that I was going to rent from someone else because I had no customers and I had no staff and I'm just starting out. And I said to myself, I am going to sign a 2-year lease. I'm going to give this everything I got for 2 years. I'm going to work hard. I'm going to show up every day. I'm going to do all the right stuff. I'm going to look around and see what other folks are doing that are successful. I'm going to try to repeat some of the things that they're doing. And I'm just going to do this for 2 years. And then at the end of 2 years, I'll reevaluate and see if I need to move 3 feet. I'll see if I need to move one way or another or do something a little different. And that, I think it takes that dedication. Sometimes folks start and they don't wait long enough. They get in there and if they don't start making money in a couple of months, they throw their hands up and say, well, that didn't work. I'm never going to do that again. And they just didn't give it enough time. When you look at the statistics, it takes 3 to 5 years for a business to get off the ground and start even to be in the black, even to just break even. It takes 3 to 5 years. Well, that's the same with a digital business, a coaching business, a writing business, or a pizza business. It doesn't matter what the business is. It takes 3 to 5 years before you're breaking even and you're starting what I say, turn the corner to where you're starting to make a profit. And Don was just on and had to jump off. But he even said, we're having a lot of fun. He said, we're not making a lot of money yet, but we're having a lot of fun. And he's put in a lot of work to get to where he is. And that's the whole point is, don't give up too soon. A little story similar to Sherry's is here in my little town, beautiful little city where it's very walkable and it's got all these little shops and cafes and, sidewalk cafes and we love that. And a dress shop opened up, a little clothing store, a little fashion store. And I remember driving by one day thinking, oh, that is a cute little store they just opened. I really need to go in there someday and check it out. And of course I was busy. I had to be somewhere, a week or two goes by or three. And finally I had a free afternoon and I said, I'm going to go in and say hi and welcome to the community, and give them my support. And I went over and they were closed, boarded up, out of business. They lasted 3 weeks.
Wow.
And I'm like, how much money and effort did they put into opening that store? But when they didn't break even and start making a profit in 3 weeks, they left. They didn't stay open long enough for folks to even find them. And so don't do that. You have to have, like Sherry's story, where the guy that came on board after the first guy left the mining business had a little bit of reserves and was able to bring in some expertise. And so have some reserves if you're going to launch a business and then make a commitment to go 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, and then reevaluate and see where you need to tweak a little bit to get more into your lane. But the point is don't quit too soon. Don't quit too soon. Hang in there.
And another statistics that's out there that says that most businesses that break even will cease to exist after 10 years. So to help yourself to get to that point where you're not closing the doors at 10 years, be very intentional and strategic in the way you're creating the passive income. I just had a friend close her doors. And part of the thing that I believe was her detriment is everything was one-on-one. It was, she did all the work and she got burned out. Mm-hmm. She didn't create something that somebody else could do some of the work for her. And she had to close the doors. And it's sad.
That reminds me of another great story, Sherry. And it's along the same line. I had a girlfriend who also had a salon. I had a salon. She had a salon. At the end of my 25 years, I ended up having 5 paid for commercial buildings because I ended up opening 5 salons through that 25 years. I only worked in one, but I had 5. And so once I pulled out of actually doing clients, the other girls that I hired were still doing clients. The salons were still a going concern. They were still bringing in cash flow for me. And now that I've totally retired from the salon industry, all of those buildings are still there and they're now generating rental income for me. The other gal who had a salon, she rented a storefront. She worked in there for 30 years. And like you said, she just got totally burned out. She started, you know, she was starting to become older and she was like, I can't stand with my arm doing hair. I've got to retire. And she ended up with a shoebox full of rent receipts after 30 years. Mm-hmm. Ended up with a shoebox full of rent receipts because she did not move her business into passive income. It was active income. As long as she was in there doing hair and working, she was making money. But once she retired and quit, the money stopped. So now, even though she's probably 10 years older than me, so she should probably be totally retired, but because she needs the money, she's opened a little tiny boutique in her home and she's gotten that approved through the Board of Cosmetology. It's just her. She doesn't have any overhead. It's in like a basement room of her house, but she still has to do so many clients every week just to continue to pay her mortgage. And she wants to retire, but she can't yet financially because she did not turn that business into passive income. And even now working in her basement, it's still totally active income. She's not doing anything to make that business passive income. Now, think about this lady, 30 years in the salon industry. Think about what she knows. Think about all the storytelling she could tell that would have a wonderful moral of the story for new stylists and cosmetologists. She could create her own academy. She could create her own school. She could do speaking gigs and get paid for it in the salon industry. There's all kinds of things that she could do to generate income and not have to stand behind the chair. Now, maybe she doesn't like to do those things, and I get that. But she has not created, she could write a book. She could do an online course for continuing ed and write it once and it would pay over and over and over every time the industry had to get their CEUs every year. So there's all kinds of ways that she could create some passive income with the knowledge that she has. And so again, that's just word to the wise. Think about how to do whatever it is you're doing, whatever it is that you love, how to make that passive over time. Okay, final thoughts, Sherry. We're at the top of the hour.
I don't know. My brain just kind of went, that's what I've been learning over the last couple of years. And I guess I'm reflecting on my husband's parents' business, which had to close when he passed away. At 94, it closed because they didn't create anything passive and they didn't teach their sons how to do anything passive. So my husband has his own business and doesn't do anything passive. And I am trying to change the narrative for my family by doing what I'm doing. And I've learned a lot, but I don't have the example locally. My example has been online. So I want to thank you for being the example.
Well, thank you, Sherry. I appreciate you being here and thank you for being my co-host. I appreciate you. And we will see everyone next time. And so we're back again the second Friday of every month. So we're back again February 10, and we're all about storytelling. And we're going to talk about that hero's journey and how to make your client the hero and to make you, the business owner, the guide. So we'll see you again on February 10. Talk to you later.